Welcome.
Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today, talking
sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray
and they spit it, don't play, and we're talking nothing but.
Yes, we are. We're talking sports with friends. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and let's go to the finals. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Let's talk some sports. Shoot us your emails. Who's your Stanley Cup winner, NBA Finals winner? Hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us at Ray and Tay. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. A lot of interesting things, a lot of hot topics, a lot of poll questions. Ray, let them know how we're breaking down this show, man.
So we got a lot to get into in this half-hour show. So let's go around the world of sports. We'll look at the French Open. We've got some crazy upsets in the French Open, especially on the women's side. We'll
ridiculous.
Talk Major League Baseball real quick. We've got some people coming off the DL. We've got some people going on the DL. We'll talk some NFL. We had some cuts today. Then we'll get into hockey, folks. It's time. New York, L.A., we'll talk about it.
First time since 81, since the Yankees and Dodgers. Crazy.
That's true. In all
Lord
sports,
Stanley's
first
Cup.
Time since 81, exactly. And then, second half of the show, dedicated to the NBA. We've got ourselves a rematch of last year's NBA Finals. Spurs and Heat, who you got? So we'll tell you, Ray and Tay will give you our predictions today. We'll put our necks on the line.
Yep,
so let's open it up
Thursday,
with some breaking news and then go around the world of sports. What's going on out there, Tay? What's going on? Tell us.
I'm going to tell you right now, the Giants released recently suspended safety Will Allen. I guess they were not happy with his suspension for 6 games. There were some reports that, you know, the Cardinals might release Darryl Washington, but they said that they weren't after his year-long suspension. And they said they won't. They're going to keep him. And they have not already given him the bonus, so they don't have to go after it and try to get the money back. On a positive note, let's say something positive in the NFL. Jets signed their rookie, Calvin Pryor. A lot of the rookies are starting to sign. And we'll wish Jermichael Finley well with his, you know, we're trying to return to the NFL as a tight end from the Packers and that neck fusion surgery, and hopefully he can get a job. But he did take out a $10 million guarantee. So if he can't ever play again, you know, he still will be okay for his family. So that's smart and good to hear something like that, you know. So what's happening in tennis, man, in French Open? On the clay, who's getting served? I know Nadal won again.
Yeah, so the men's bracket is not that crazy. We had some upsets, right? Don't get me wrong. But Nadal, Ferrer is 1-5, and then you got Gael Monfils and Andy Murray, so that's 23-7. That's the top half of the bracket.
Murray's heating up.
Yeah, you got Berdych against Gulbis, so that's 6-18, and then you've got Rannick against Djokovic, so that's 8-2. So, you know, some upsets here and there, but really it looks like it's going to be Nadal Djokovic in the final.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
so that's
would
fine.
Be great for the fans. Yeah.
That would be
the women's,
you know, what
chaos.
Everybody wants to see if Nadal could win his, I believe he's won 8. This would be his 9th French Open. I mean, the guy just, I mean, he should just be an honorary citizen of France because this dude is Spanish, but, you know, he owns the French clay
he
at Roland Garros.
Yeah.
The thing is, on the women's side, with all those upsets, the highest seeded left is Simona Halep of Romania, and she's ranked fourth. And then Maria Sharapova is ranked 17th. Seventh. The rest of these women,
I tell you, it's Sharapova.
Are ranked
she's taking
14, 18, 27, 28. Yeah. I mean, there's some people, I got to be honest with you. I follow women's tennis.
I don't even know. Yeah.
For years was the best tennis, better than men's tennis. I don't even know some of these women. I'm sorry.
yeah. No, it's keeping it real.
Yeah. So
Ray and Tay, bring it real.
We'll see if it's Halep against Sharapova or maybe Kuznetsova, who's now ranked 27th, but she can regain
some
of her.
Too bad Sloane Stephens didn't.
She just lost,
yeah. Yeah, didn't advance. You like to see sort of the next generation, these young kids, start to, you know, develop and advance, especially when the big guns get eliminated. But I'm looking forward to next up, Wimbledon, you know, the next major in tennis. That should be a lot of fun as well. Hey, you know, we got to give some love to our man in NASCAR, my man. He won his second, so he's guaranteed to be in the Sprint Cup Championship, Jimmy Johnson. And I think this is his seventh or eighth win over at Delaware. So Jimmy Johnson is just
ninth in Dover.
Oh gosh,
yeah,
ninth at Dover. He's a beast, man.
He's
so
the real deal.
Doing his thing in NASCAR, and it's a lot of fun, you know. And this year with the new whole experience of winning being the most important thing to make it to the chase, you got a. three guys that have won twice already. So, and Jimmy's one of them, so that's good. So I'm kind of hyped about that. What's going on in baseball, man? I mean, real quick, we got to touch on some things. Your boy Burley with 10 wins, and this guy is not throwing. He's throwing like 85, 86 miles per hour. He's painting the plate. It's pretty impressive to see Burley and then Tanaka, who I know you saw live. What are your thoughts about what Tanaka's doing? Because remember I said, not just Rookie of the Year. This guy's got opportunity to be Cy Young, if not for Burley. I mean,
he does. And
Burley.
Let's see if the second half doesn't catch up to Mark Burley. Remember, Mark Burley about 6 or 7 years ago pitched a perfect game. So he's got some skills, but if you play fantasy baseball and you've got him on your team, you'll know that he can give you a month where he stinks it up, where he has a 6-7 ERA or a whip in the 1.6, 1.7 range. I mean, he can get lit up. But good for him for doing his thing. Toronto just looks great. So this kid Tanaka is the real deal. I mean, his worst outing where he got, quote-unquote, knocked around was against Chicago about a month ago, the second time they saw him. And even when he got knocked around, he gave up 3 runs in 6 innings. So not bad at all. This Saturday I saw him. The guy has 5 pitches, 5 swing-and-miss pitches. The Twins were not a great hitting team, but he held them to 4 hits. He withstood a little bit of rain, some adversity. This kid Tanaka's the real deal. So happy the Yankees got him. He's 25, and like we jumped off air. He's not Dominican, so his 25 is a real 25. You know the Japanese keep good records, so he's not fooling anybody.
The poor Dominican players with the
they get a bad rep, right?
They've earned it, but you know what? They're dominating baseball, man.
Yeah, so look at this. But we got some other things going on. So going through baseball, right, the major league leader in home runs, Nelson Cruz, now took the lead. But he hurt his hand. So
he should probably be all right.
His boy Manny Machado came back, hit a grand slam. Did you see the Red Sox and the Rays were going at it over the weekend with David
Red
Price.
Red Sox started winning again.
It was
10 in a row. Now they got 7 in a row, right?
7 in a row. And now Stephen Drew is back, and they're going to start him at shortstop, and they're going to move Xander Bogaerts to third. So they are moving everything around to get their big
signing. I guess Middlebrooks
is not
really going to make it there third for them. You know, the two young guys, Middlebrooks and Bradley Jr., you sort of thought maybe, you know, looking at them beginning of last year, that they might be the two new darlings to take over. But I guess Middlebrooks can't lock down third, so I guess we'll see how this works out for them.
TBD. And also my guy, the guy who I predicted would be Rookie of the Year, is back. Jose Abreu is coming back to face LA.
Just in time,
today.
They need him.
Yeah.
They played good without him, but they needed him. I saw the Pirates traded Morris for a 39th draft pick to the Marlins, Brian Morris. And what's this, the Cubs? Are they trading Samardzija?
They've been looking at trading him for a while. And I don't know if
they're asking for some draft picks.
Maybe Theo's trying to reload again, because I guess at some point he's going to get through his arbitration eligibility and want to get some real money. So I don't know if that's a financial thing or for some reason that Theo doesn't like him. But, yeah, his name has been dangled out there for a while.
Yeah,
and
no,
keep him.
Definitely.
I hate to see young players get traded. The team that drafts them should reap the benefits.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, listen, the Knicks are considered to have Derek Fisher as the front runner for the next head coaching job.
He
so
hasn't even barely
we'll
come off the log, taken off the
just
tape on his ankles, you know, soaked his feet for the
how
last time.
How many veterans out? He's trying to pull the Jason Kidd. Let's see what happens. I tell you one thing, Derek Fisher sure, you know, he ain't go out like no punk, man. He had to play DL, which was rough, and he hit a couple of clutch threes. We'll get into the whole NBA stuff in a second. And then the Pistons, they hired Jeff Bauer as their GM, who's going to work with Stan Van Gundy, who's basically the president and the head coach. You know, Stan Van Gundy needs somebody to work the cap. You know, Ray was like, wait a minute, that's Van Gundy's spot. But I'm like, yo, Van Gundy can't work the cap and coach and be president. So he'll have some help. So that should be kind of interesting.
Oh, one more
you
thing
know,
on a sad note. Wait, I want to just throw this out on a sad note. The former Nets and Devils owner, Lewis Katz, died along with six other people in a plane crash on Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
They took a private plane in Massachusetts, and it crashed. And so, yeah, shout out to anybody that passes away in aviation and definitely the world of sports. You know, Lewis Katz was an owner. He owned the Nets, remember, back when they went to the finals in 2001 and 2002 with Kidd.
And
the Devils. So this guy was a pretty, you know,
they had
active owner.
Quite a run. Jersey had quite a run with that, with both those franchises. And it looks like Bird wants to re-sign Lance Stephenson, which is probably good for him because with his antics, I don't know if other teams will be ready to bring him on and pay for him. And the old veteran, Ray, your boy from Duke and upstate New York, Elton Brand, says he's going to return for his 16th season. What do you think about old Elton Brand?
He still does it for short periods of time. I mean, 15, 20 minutes a game, maybe 25 minutes a game. Elton Brand can do his thing. I mean, look at DeJuan Blair with no ACL.
no
had a huge impact in that Dallas series. And Elton Brand's a more talented, more skilled player. I mean, he's older, obviously, but Elton Brand can still do some things.
No, you're very right about that. And then I thought it was interesting, Durant and Westbrook are obviously, you know, backing their coach, Scottie Brooks, who they want to return. And I'm not so sure if I would want him to return, just, you know, just as a fan, if I was an OKC fan. But also, it looks like they said Frank Vogel's coming back, so good for him. We got to figure out what happened at that Pacer team in that locker room. We really got to figure that out.
Yeah, something happened. I know it did.
That you know, I don't think it was like a, you know, Delonte West dating LeBron's mom or nothing, but I think something popped off because that was crazy. But you know what? Let's give some love right now to Lord Stanley's Cup. We got to give a little preview for the NHL Stanley Cup. Let's give our picks. Props to the Blackhawks, who lost last night in overtime to the Kings. A great Game 7, a great Western Conference Finals. They were down 3-1, came all the way back. I thought they would win it. Ray stuck with his Kings, picking them. But what did you think about that game, man? That was down 2-0. They come storming back and give them credit. Great shot in overtime.
You know
what's amazing? Almost, you know.
These might be the two best teams in hockey right now. They're the two-time defending champs, right? The Kings won 2 years ago. The Blackhawks won last year. And they're supposedly a defensive, you know, both are defensive teams. So to have this shootout, basically, have it be 5-4 in overtime was pretty crazy. So that's one. And the other thing is the Kings twice in this series came back from 2-0 deficits. So Chicago's got to be thinking to themselves, wait a minute, those are games you need to win. You're up 2-0, and the Kings both times came back and won those games. Chicago's probably thinking to themselves, and obviously if the Kings win, Chicago's probably thinking to themselves, wait a minute, we need to be back-to-back.
Like the Detroit Red Wings are the last team to do it. Yeah. Well, look, the Kings are going in as favorites. The Rangers are underdogs. I got to tell you, man, you know, it comes down to Quick against Lundqvist. For some reason, I just – maybe I'm nostalgic with 94. I'm going with the upset. I'm going with the Blue Shirts. I'm going with MSG, New York. I'm picking the Rangers. I got to say this. Not all the games are on NBC. Some are going to be on the NBC Sports Network. But what's really cool, Saturday night, Game 2. They start Wednesday, but Game 2, NBC has a chance to kill the ratings. They got the Belmont with California Chrome and the Triple Crown, I guess starting at like 4:30, and then they'll be going to like 10 o'clock at night with, you know, Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals. So that should be kind of fun for, you know, sports fans and hopefully for NBC Sports and their ratings. So what do you think? I'm going to go with the Rangers. I'm going to have to say 6 because I don't know if they can win Game 7 in L.A. I'll take the Rangers in 6.
Wow, you're going to Rangers in 6.
I'm going for it, man.
Okay, I'm going to go the other way around. I'm going to go to Kings in 6. I think they're going to beat the Rangers at their own game.
In the Garden, oof. Close out on the road.
Yeah, they're going to do it. I think you're right that it comes down to Lundqvist against Jonathan Quick. And actually, Lundqvist is playing better. Jonathan Quick kind of got lit up by that
Chicago team.
He
struggled a couple games, you're right. Yeah. He struggled a couple games.
Yeah, and, you know, the Rangers had to get a Dominic Moore goal in that 1-0 victory against the Canadiens in Game 6.
Just for his experience and his story with his wife, you know, your heart has to root for that guy and for the Rangers. I'm telling you. That's, oof.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, though? Like, a little kind of subtlety to this whole thing. Remember, Rangers traded Ryan Callahan for Martin Saint-Louis. So the Rangers don't technically have a captain because Callahan was their captain. So when they had the Prince of Wales trophy, they had to send up, you know, 3 guys. So Richards, Girardi, and Staal went out there to get the trophy, and it's not, you know, they don't have a captain. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic. It's a team without a captain because it's very rare that you trade your captain midseason. It's very rare you do that and in the same season go to the Stanley Cup final. But Martin Saint-Louis, you know, definitely pulled his weight. So
that would be something to research, but I bet that's never happened.
Yeah, probably.
What you just said, I bet that's never happened, you know?
Oh, and Henry Lundqvist, by the way, with that shutout that he had, passed Mike Richter for most shutout in Ranger playoff history, 42. That's crazy.
But isn't it crazy? Both of these guys, neither one of them have lost a Game 7, right?
Oh, I think you're right. But what's even crazier is that if the Kings win, that means they will have won, and if they win in Game 7, it would just be ridiculous. Because the Kings came back, think about last year, or 2 years ago and this year, they came back down 3-0 in the opening round. And then they were down 3-1 in the next round. And then they won all 3 Game 7s. So talk about playing under pressure. Talk about playing clutch. These L.A. Kings have been phenomenal. So I got to give them crazy props. It'll be very interesting to see. Now, ticket prices are through the roof, especially in New York. It'll be very interesting to see how this hockey draws. Now, like you said, not every game will be on NBC, which is too bad because this is the time where hockey has a chance to, you know, make a little name for itself on national TV.
Yeah, no, definitely. So let's say goodbye to hockey. You have 6 for the Kings. I got 6 for the Rangers. Let's get a little love for some people that got some love for Rangers.
Yo, this is Pablo Francisco. You know what? When I want the sports, all the best updates, I go to Ray and Tay.
That's right. All sports. All good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Pablo's with us.
Oh, man.
And
he's so funny.
You should be, too.
You know what I love, though, when he does – are you in good hands when he does the Allstate guy? Oh, my God. Pablo is so funny. If you haven't seen him live, you got to see this guy live. Pablo Francisco is hilarious. I got to give you a little bit of flavor as we get ready to talk NBA. We're hyped up. Let's throw in a little beat real quick. Talk over it a little bit. Ray, are you ready for the rematch of the 2014 NBA Finals between the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. The battle of the big threes. Ray, which big three is taking home the Larry O'Brien Trophy? Let's talk about it.
All right. So before I give you my prediction, we'll get to that. We still have 10 minutes left in the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Let me say that I'm all for this rematch. I thought that last year's final was one of the better finals in the last 25 years. And different styles, different organizations, different ways of doing things, but both elite organizations, both fun teams to watch. And if
classy
you're a real
players.
Basketball fan, classy players, different types of players, constructed differently, Chicago, San Antonio has more of an international feel. They had that anchor, Tim Duncan, number one overall pick, whereas the Heat are really the three superstars and a bunch of veterans, and then Ray Allen came over. So, it's a fun matchup, and I got to be honest with you, deep down, I wanted this rematch. I mean, even though, I heard people saying they're tired of it and they're tired of seeing the Heat and they're tired of seeing San Antonio, deep down, other than Oklahoma City, who probably...
Well, basketball purists, you got to want this. Because they're the two best teams, clearly.
I am very happy. I don't know how it'll rate because San Antonio is a little bit boring for the, casual NBA fan, but I loved Tim Duncan since Wake Forest and Randolph Childress.
Fundamentals.
This is I love it. These are the two best teams. These are, with all due respect to Indiana and OKC, these are the two best teams in the NBA, and I'm glad it's a rematch, and I hope it goes seven games. I'll give you my prediction in a little bit, but I'm very excited about this.
Well, let me say, I got to agree with you, and just, talking real quick about some of these matchups. Number one, we hope Tony Parker's ankles are really healed and he's feeling good, because I want it to be just a fair, battle going 6-7 games. Number two, Spurs have home court advantage, and it is 2-2-1-1-1, no more 2-3-2, which I think favors the road team in this chance, being able to go back and forth and not have to win. The pressure of winning three at home is just too much. But I think this year we are going to see a much healthier Dwayne Wade, and that really bodes well for the Miami Heat. I'll be interested to see, though, and I don't know if you heard anything yet or whatever, but you can have a 13-man rotation in terms of active players if Greg Oden is active for this series, because I think in this series he's got to play a little. I think the Spurs' size – I think Oden is going to have to play a little bit. Now, one thing that the Spurs have been doing, and they did against OKC, going with Duncan, Leonard, and Diaw as their front court for big stretches in the game. Do you think if they do that, that favors Miami in terms of matching up? And they counter that with like Bosch, LeBron, and Lewis?
Well, Lewis would be the key there, because is this Lewis of, 5 years ago, or is this Rashard Lewis of today? So my gut is that the Spurs will actually rotate Splitter back and play Splitter more and Bonner less, because the weakness that we all see in the Heat is that front court defense. So if the Spurs can pass the ball and Splitter can finish – and Duncan can finish, that can give that, and they don't have a shot blocker back there like Ibaka. So I think you'll see Bonner, who had his
Birdman. He's going to have to play big. Let's
so,
see
yeah,
what
we
got.
We got ourselves a caller, but I like San Antonio's size. You're right that Oden would help, but I don't think you could put in the fourth series of the playoffs. I don't think that you can start to play Greg Oden minutes. So I'm not sure that. Unless he's been doing it in practice and we haven't been seeing it, but I'm not sure that they would take that risk with Oden. So, hello, you're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, guys, Mike in Pittsburgh. How's it
Mike,
going?
Mike, what's up? How are you? Hey,
Mike,
what happened?
We missed you, man.
On the Randall episode, and I hope you heard, you know, we addressed your question, and Randall addressed your question, so I don't know if you were able to hear that. I did, and I was
a little concerned because I knew it was kind of a touchy subject. I didn't know if he wanted to touch upon that or not.
We did want to touch upon it, just not the first question, but we definitely we had to honor you. You know, we keep it real on our show, and we definitely went at him with it, and he answered the way a pastor, you know, would answer. And you know, hey, listen, it's like you said, and I liked your point. You know, going back listening to the show, you know, it's almost like you can't. I guess our society has gotten to the way where, like, now you can't criticize anything or you can't disagree with something that's not, like, you know, PC. And so I think Randall handled it well, and he said, you know, basically love the person and the player and just hate the sin. So that's what you're going to get from a pastor, you know. So
well,
what's up,
what
Michael?
I'll
are you
to
ready
do,
to talk finals or what?
Yeah, what I'll have to do, guys, is I was on the road when I called you, so I will archive that show and listen to it because I do want to hear that.
Yeah, it was a great interview.
Check it out. Go to Blog Talk's archives and check it out for sure. Yeah, because we did ask him the question and he did answer it.
Good. Hey, guys, what I wanted to get into was the LeBron James-Michael Jordan discussion here. If James wins this series, does it put him in the sense with Jordan? And I think it does because this is the first series the Miami Heat really had since they've all been together that they're an underdog. And Vegas actually has San Antonio as a favorite. You know, they have home court. And it's in my eyes, too. I think San Antonio has everything going for them, this series, the revenge factor, you know, the fact that last year they were probably the better team. I mean, it took a miracle in Game 6 for Miami to win. I think San Antonio's got a little better. I think Miami's a little overrated because how bad the Eastern Conference path was to the final. But if LeBron James can pull this off, and beat the San Antonio Spurs as the underdog and win three championships in a row, I am going to start putting him in the same sentence as Michael Jordan because he is going to have to. He's going to have the series of his life to beat San Antonio in this series.
And one comment, I'll let Tay talk about that in a sec, but one comment is, comma, everything you said, comma, and he's only 29. So he probably has 8 to 10 more very good years ahead of him. But anyway, I'll let Tay have the floor.
Well, you know, Mike, you hit it right on the head with that. And I got to say this, you know, Ray and I had already said it last year during the finals. We were doing our top 15 players. And, you know, we sort of, you know, before even Mark Jackson said it, I definitely think LeBron is already number one at small forward ahead of Larry Bird, the best small forward ever. The one thing that we'll never know is because Jordan stepped away twice, really, with those three in a row. Could he have battled and beaten out an Olajuwon team? That would have been fascinating. Obviously, when he came back early from the with the baseball, he'd lost to Shaq and Penny. But, you know, to three-peat is amazing. And this Spurs team, 1-15, is a better team than the Miami team. But Dwayne Wade being healthy this year, and Parker, that ankle, oof, you know, you could just step one weird way and re-hurt it. I think LeBron is ripe to possibly get this. And I was asking Ray, and I was basically, and I'll see what you think. You know, yeah, not better than Mike, but climbing up the top five. You know, is he going to be ahead of Kobe, ahead of Magic, you know, in terms of just right now, not, you know, not projecting out when he's finished. But it's one of those things where LeBron is so amazing, I think he's almost underrated because people hated on him in the media for so long, and then he's won and broke through, but people don't realize he's not doing it with such a – you know, it's the big three. I don't think it's a great roster.
Yeah, Wade missed,
you know,
28
games. Birdman and Haslam are not great players. So you're right on with that.
You guys made a good point about Jordan in the finals never facing the Rockets. None of the teams he faced in the finals ever won a championship. Now, if LeBron James and the Miami Heat were to win this year, this would be 2 years in a row against the San Antonio team that's won four championships over, what, like a 10-year span something Jordan never did. You know, those Bulls teams, their main rival, you know, were the Knicks and the Pacers to get through the Eastern Conference. But when it comes to the finals, you know, whether it was Phoenix or Seattle or those teams in Utah, none of those teams ever won a championship. So if LeBron beats San Antonio twice back-to-back, the team that's won four championships, he starts, in my opinion at least, gets into discussion with Jordan.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
That's a great point. You know, again, it's so hard with Jordan because he was 6-0. I mean, you make a good point that he didn't really beat any great teams, right? The first win was against the Lakers, and they were on the decline.
I guess the back-to-back Utah Lakers
teams at the end were good teams but not great. You know, you don't look at Malone and Stockton and say that they had dominant teams. I mean, they were both Hall of Fame players, but they didn't really, you know, steamroll through the playoffs anyway. They had good regular seasons. I guess what I would say about LeBron is that the knock against LeBron is that in 07 he gets swept by Tim Duncan. You give him a pass for that because he basically took a bunch of nobodies on Cleveland.
Yeah.
But it might be that Dallas series that holds him back maybe from being, you know, up 2-0, up 2.5. Oh,
Michael
right,
would have never lost to that Dallas team.
Yeah,
and I think you know that, Mike. Jordan
three.
Would have not lost to that Dallas team.
Well, what if LeBron last year? Well, LeBron last year in Game 6 against San Antonio, those last 2 minutes, he basically fell. I mean, he was missing three-pointers. He was turning the ball over.
He had a couple turnovers,
Yeah, if it wasn't for that miracle Ray Allen shot, he'd be taking a beating, you know. And then, they won Game 6 and won Game 7. But I think that was a turning point in his career. If he would have lost that game, he would be asking a lot of questions, answering a lot of questions. But just winning that and then beating San Antonio again would be very impressive. I'll be honest, guys, and this will just be my last point. I don't think he will. I think San Antonio is going to win this series, to be quite honest with you.
How many games? Do you think it goes seven, six or seven, or do you think it'll be five?
I'm going to go out on the limb here. I'm going to say five or six.
Really?
Okay. Miami coming into the playoffs didn't impress me. I know they always turn it on, but I think everyone's overrating them. They did absolutely nothing in the playoffs to impress me. They beat a Charlotte team without Jefferson hurt. Brooke Lopez was injured, and you know Brooklyn's kind of an older team, and that head case of a team you call the Pacers. The Heat did nothing in that series to impress me. So they're going against the team that's been stewing
Mike, be fair. LeBron and Dwayne Wade, they were amazing.
I know, but
I got to
see it against San Antonio. I got to see it against a team that has some heart, that has some fight back, not the Pacers.
Well, and also to Mike's point here, two people can't beat San Antonio, right? So Westbrook and Durant, as a two-man crew, couldn't beat San Antonio by themselves. So
yeah, Bosh is the key.
You need a third and a fourth maybe. So Allen and Bosh, you know, I personally thought that they would get some production from other players. You know, maybe it's Oden, maybe it's Michael Beasley, maybe it's, you know, Mario Chalmers, but it seems like that third and fourth option, or let's say the third option is always going to be Bosh, but that fourth player is inconsistent on their team.
Well, you know what's going to be a fascinating little matchup? Forget about Parker. We already know he's the, you know, creme de la creme of the point guards. But to see Patty Mills and Corey Joseph sort of go at it against Cole and Chalmers, it could make a big difference in this series. You know, you're going to have to see Cole and Chalmers really step up defensively to keep Parker out of the middle. And I want to see somehow how the Heat can score or keep the offense going when LeBron's got to rest for a little bit, because, you know, I think Diaw and Leonard are going to give him, you know, a little bit of fits, you know, nothing major, but this is going to be such a fascinating series, and I don't think there's no way in heck that the Spurs could beat him in five, Mike, but you're right, they definitely are the favorite, and you know, it's anybody's series.
Vegas has him as a favorite at like 57% with Tony Parker. And even if Tony Parker doesn't play, and again, this is just Vegas, but Vegas has him even without Tony Parker, with Tony Parker missing the whole series, they're still a 53% favorite. Again,
I disagree.
Let me throw this
that.
Out there since you're talking Vegas. I think game one, Spurs are going to put a beat down on the Heat. I think that all that frustration from last year, at least that first game, and just Miami not playing anybody good yet, they're going to come into a hornet's nest in that first game in San Antonio, and I love them only laying 3.5 points. I think they're going to beat the Heat by 10-plus. Now, by game two, I think Miami's going to realize they're in for a real series, and then it's going to start getting interesting. But I think game one's a blowout for the Spurs.
Wow. Okay.
Should be interesting. So, Mike, real quick before we got to let you go, I want to ask you this because we've talked about it before with you. I got to give a little knock on Paul George. I know you and Ray, both on the show before, have talked about how great he is and sort of, you know, putting him up ahead of Melo. But to me, Paul George did not, he had one good game, did not have a big NBA Finals. And it's Eastern Conference Finals, excuse me. But I think Paul George has still got to develop a little bit more. There were some times that if it wasn't for Weston Stephenson playing with complete heart, as crazy as Stephenson is, he plays with such heart that, you know, they kept them around, you know, as much as they could. I think Paul George has got to take a little knock. What do you think about that?
I agree with you. I think last year in that series, the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat, he was on the verge of superstardom. And sometimes players cross that to get into it, and sometimes they fall back. And I think we saw in the Eastern Conference Final, not only that, but the whole second half of the year for the Pacers, he's kind of in that territory now where you can't call him a superstar, and he better get his act together or he might just kind of, you know, fade away into just an above-average NBA player.
Yeah, you're right. The only thing in his defense, just like LeBron's only 29, he's only 24. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that another year or two and he'll step up. And hopefully we don't talk about him in the next few years. And I hate to do this to him, but hopefully he's not Chris Paul, who at 9 or 10 years into his career has not achieved I think he's the best point guard in the NBA when he's right, but he still hasn't achieved that success in the playoffs, so I can't really put him in that
status. Yeah. All right, Mike. Hey, Mike, do you like Derek Fisher as the next Knicks head coach?
Yeah, why not? Well, what a great player. What a great person. He's the ultimate professional in the NBA, and that would be a perfect fit, in my opinion.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Mike.
All right, guys.
All right, great talking to you as always, Mike.
Calling.
Take care.
Yep.
So it's time for prediction time. I think forget Vegas, forget, you know, what everybody's saying. I'm going to shoot it out like this. This is a great Spurs team, and I tend to hold off on giving the Spurs their proper props and respect. I keep waiting for them to stop soaring and stop winning. You know, they're getting older. But the one thing that I'm seeing, I don't like Danny Green on the road, even though he finally played well on the road against OKC in that last game. And I don't know if Leonard is ready yet for LeBron. And I think LeBron right now is feeling the history and sensing the history. And with Pat Riley just maybe whispering a little something in his ear about getting a three-peat and what this means, and LeBron already knowing it, and Dwayne Wade being healthy enough, looking actually really good, great field goal percentage, shooting like 54%, I think the Heat win the NBA title.
Really?
In Miami.
For the three-peat.
In Miami.
Game six.
Wow. They win. They lose game one, like Mike said. They get game two. And then they do enough to win the series in six games. I just think Ray will give you what he needs. Bosch is playing better. I think he's mentally in it. And I just got a funny feeling that whether it's Odin playing or enough from Birdman or Cole or Chalmers or somebody, you know, maybe I think it's Rashard Lewis. I think Rashard Lewis really had an awakening. He kind of remembered, like, oh, I'm actually pretty good.
He remembered 2009 when he was with the Magic.
So Tay is putting it out there. LeBron does it in six.
You know, we talk about boxing and how matchups make fights. So these two teams are totally different in the way they're composed and in the way they play, but they make for a nice matchup. Now, I thought that the Spurs should have won last year. I actually predicted the Heat would win. I predicted it go, you know, we both did, I think, 1-1-1-1-1-1-1, and then the Heat would win in Game 7, which they did. But I think the 2-2-1-1-1 format is better for the Spurs now because they're the team with the home court advantage. I think that the depth of the Spurs, and I like what Mike said, the Spurs got better, and the Heat just stagnated. I thought with Michael Beasley and with Greg Oden, that would push them over the edge. Now, you got some of what Beasley would give you in a rejuvenated Rashard Lewis, but I still think that this playoffs and the fact that San Antonio was stretched a little bit, but they got excellent performances for pretty long stretches out of Corey Joseph, out of Patty Mills, out of Boris Diaw. These are all their bench players,
yeah.
Right? Marco Bellinelli took a couple of months off towards the end of the season, but now picked it up again. So you have a full bench that can come in and give Miami fits. So I think they're just too deep. And again, two players, Durant and Westbrook, tried to beat them, and I think the depth plus Popovich's system and the confidence that they have in each other and the fact that they can go down or they can go on the road, I like San Antonio a lot. And I think that – I don't know that they could win it in five, but I think that they will win it in – I would say six or seven. So if I were to put my neck on the line, I'll say six, just like they did to Oklahoma City. It'll be 2-2, and then they'll win game three at the AT&T Center in San Antonio. Game five at San Antonio, and then they'll win six on the road in Miami and do to Miami what Miami did to them last year, win that closeout game on the road. I just think they're too deep. I think they know how to play LeBron and Wade, or at least contain them, and it comes down to that third and fourth score because you know San Antonio is going to score. So I like the Spurs at six.
It's going to be a classic. I'm hyped. I think it's going to be fantastic. And either way, we're going to be there. We'll be on Friday, 5 o'clock for your Eastern, analyzing game one. And enjoy a great, great sports week. Thanks for Mike for calling in. Thanks for all the listeners. And we can tell Mike and everybody, go listen to our back shows. You know, you can go to the podcast on iTunes, Ray and Tay Today, or go to rayandtaytoday.com. Check out that Randall Cunningham interview, and we had some great stuff with the NFL draft preview with George Reister, great draft stories from both of them. And even go to our YouTube page. We chopped it up for you. You can check that out there. But, Ray, this is what it's all about. We were talking about it all year, and we got it. You know, I think we both thought the Clippers might make it, but it is the Spurs. Everybody get ready for our classic NBA Finals 2014 rematch. Big three, Miami Heat against San Antonio Spurs. Great show, man. We'll talk again on Friday.
Yeah, Ray and Tay, thanks for joining us. Have a great sports week. See you on Friday.
Talking sports with friends. Peace.
We're out.